This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
If in this life only we have no hope, if all of our hope is in this life, we are of all men most miserable. That's what the Apostle Paul said, and yet we are supposed to be prisoners of hope. Hope. We're supposed to be gripped by hope. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about the matter of hope. Yes, hope that is secure and steadfast, anchored firm and deep in the Savior's love. Yes, hope. What is hope anyway? Well, is it a just an expectation, a free-floating kind of expectation that something good is going to happen, maybe? Well, if that's the kind of hope you have in Christ, you don't have hope in Christ. There's something wrong. In fact, you're not anchored firm and deep. We have a lot of people out there who name the name of Christ who are not anchored in this hope. We know they're not anchored in this hope because of the way they live. They live in such a way that they manifest that they do not have that hope, but their primary hope is in this world. And if that be true, somewhere along the line, it's going to be miserable. But what if things aren't going too well? What if things are not going well at all? What if circumstances are arising such as to create a challenge so great that you wonder if God's even there? You wonder if there even is a God. And why isn't God hearing my prayer? Well, we need to talk about hope in the midst of when it seems that God isn't listening. So I'm glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms, and in this life we need hope. We've got a situation over there in Israel, believe it or not, where our president, Donald Trump, is being given accolades for bringing around a peace agreement in the Middle East. Fascinating, historic, no question about it. But he says it's going to provide an eternal peace. In other words, an eternal hope. Really? Is that what the eternal hope really is? We can be glad that there's going to be peace for a while, but certainly it's not an eternal hope because the Bible doesn't tell us that. The eternal hope is placed elsewhere. And so we can have joy about certain things in our lives, but it isn't necessarily the kind of hope that God is promising. So today on Viewpoint, Tyrone Jones is joining us from Arizona, and he says he is gripped by hope, and we should be gripped by hope because we need to discover God's light in dark places. Tyrone, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you, sir. It's quite an honor to be with you.
Well, how are things over there in Arizona?
In Yuma, Arizona?
Yeah.
Today is a wonderful day. We are on the back end of our summer, per se. And summer here, Chuck, can be, we can get up to 124 degrees.
Yeah.
And so it can get pretty hot. Today, it's in the 90s. Possibility of a little monsoon may come through. But this for us, this is great. Some people, 90 degrees may be warm for them, but for us, this is, man, we go golfing, we go running, we'll throw footballs around.
A bunch of cool cats, huh?
You better believe it, man. This is a good day for us.
All right. Well, so winter is almost non-existent for you.
Yeah, we can get down into the 40s.
Really? Okay. So you do you have hope? Do you have hope for better weather, cooler weather, or is your hope for the eternal burning fuel?
Well, I tell you, we always have hope for better weather. We love to golf here, and so we like good golfing days. And sometimes in December, when you got to put a little light jacket on, you just feel like you got a better swing. So yeah, we'll take it.
Now, I understand that you have 8 children and 15 grandchildren. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Does your wife have any hope of no more children?
Actually, if you asked her, it would be the opposite. The one who threw in the towel was me. It's like whatever is anchoring this soul needs to unanchor it.
Well, you certainly have a built-in church there.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
You know, I'm thinking, Tyrone, I'm thinking about 8 children and 13 or 15 grandchildren. And in this day and age, you have to have some kind of hope other than in business as usual, because the challenges are so great and the threats are so great. How do you have hope for all those kids and grandchildren amid this mess?
You know, Chuck, that really is a great question, because even the scripture tells us, you know, the trouble of raising children and the challenges in the last days. And, you know, my oldest is 42. Uh-huh. My youngest is 29. Sorry. And so, you know, that stretch, that range there, coming into a lot of the cultural stuff that they have now had to walk through, embrace. I mean, things that, you know, obviously when I'm raising my youngest, we didn't even have cell phones. And so the challenge, of course, on the one thing is keeping them anchored into the church where they have a heart for the Lord. And, of course, the Holy Spirit has to do most of that work. You know, you set the environment for that, the atmosphere, encourage devotions and encourage, you know, them to serve in the church even at a young age.
But the call of the culture is extreme. It's constant.
It's strong. And if I can be honest, a lot of it I became kind of out of touch with. Like, you know, there would be language, and I'm not just talking about cursing, but just the way the society speaks, the things that they present, that I was just kind of out of touch with.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it was, for me to kind of guide them through some things that I really didn't even know how to totally embrace myself or walk through. It did. We had some difficulties. I wouldn't say with all of the children, but certainly, I guess as a father, I could certainly say there was some moments with a couple of them where I just thought, my goodness, I think I've just lost control of this, or even lost them. But I can honestly say today, the Lord has been faithful. And all of them have a heart for the Lord, faithful to the house of God. But yeah, it's tough, man. And now, of course, with the grandchildren, you know, most of us get the idea that wherever we mess up with the children, we get a second chance with the grandchildren. So I'm going into this. My oldest grandchild is actually 11, and then we just got one that was just born. On the 4th, so we're talking less than 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And so, you know, yes, I get a second shot at all of this, but they also got some things that we'll have to work through on parenting styles and all of that.
Well, so you got to have a steadfast hope in order to endure of that. We're going to be back with Tyrone in just a few minutes to really talk about this meaning of hope. How can we have hope when things seem so difficult, even hopeless? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismire. Today we have a special guest joining us, Tyrone Jones, to talk about his book, Gripped by Hope. Gripped by Hope. And he's talking about discovering God's light in dark places. In other words, if hope does not exist when things aren't always looking wonderful, then maybe there's no hope. Maybe the hope that we're talking about isn't real hope. Maybe it's maybe we just have a feeling of optimism generally.
Mm-hmm.
But when things aren't going quite well, then we're not so optimistic and we lose our anchor. And when we lose our anchor, we start to drift. And when we start to drift, we lose sight of the direction that we were going in the first place and often end up in places, well, we would rather not be, and we don't want to end up in the one that Jesus warned about as the eternal place when we don't have true hope, the hope of the gospel. So today on Viewpoint, Tyrone Jones joining us with his hardbound book, Gripped by Hope, and it's going to be yours for $22. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Write a check and find $6 for postage and handling. Life without hope is not life, it's just existence. I like that phrase, Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And, you know, and that's sometimes people have what they think is hope, right? They got this idea of, you know, they hope they win the lottery or, you know, hope she says yes to taking her out, you know, hoping for a better future. But that really is just, that's more wishing than it is really having something that's tangible. I believe hope is a noun and a verb. And so you got to have something tangible that you can rely on that gives you a real confidence and an expectation beyond just a wish. And so it's true, as noted, life without hope is not a life. It's just an existence.
Well, true hope is based on the credibility of the one who is making the promise of the better future or the hope. And if we are not confident that God is credible, then we've got a problem because we have no anchor for our soul and we're cast off into a world of uncertainty and trusting circumstances to provide our hope. And that's a very dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, just think about Abraham, you know, if he had just hoped, it's as the world defines hope, when God made those promises to him.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord proved himself. He proved himself even when he was 99 for him and Sarah to have Isaac. And so that's why Romans 4 tells us that Abraham had hope beyond what the world would call hope, because he found out that God was sure and that he was steadfast. And that rolls right on down to the sure mercies of David. David could have that same hope in God that he promised him, that there would always be one who sits upon the throne, because he saw the same God that proved himself to Abraham is the same God that had proved himself to him. And, you know, we can walk right on through the prophets when they declared the Messiah was coming. They weren't just speaking wishes. They knew they could trust what God had said.
Yet they didn't see the fulfillment of it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the great faith chapter, it's a hope chapter, but they didn't see the hope. They didn't see the fulfillment of it all. So how about this matter of faith versus hope? What's the difference?
I actually think hope is the workhorse of faith. I think I can believe. The reason we believe with a faith that's sure, with the faith that we have no doubt in, is because of this confident expectation, which I define hope to be, this confident expectation in the one who made the promise, or the one that we're anchoring our soul in, or the one that we're looking forward to. And so, I mean, it's like, if I'm pulling in my boat, I come along the dock and I throw that anchor down. That anchor is the workhorse of me now believing that boat's not going anywhere. So the workhorse of faith to me is hope.
I like
when
that.
When I have a confident expectation, then I now have the faith to believe whatever I'm hoping in will come through.
Well, the interesting thing is the word faith, I think, is used rather loosely these days. Everybody wants to talk about people of faith. Well, here's a person of faith. What faith in what? Faith in what?
Right.
And so in reality, to talk about people of faith in and of itself in today's culture is almost meaningless, because you don't even know for that person whether there's any real anchor in legitimate biblical hope. For instance, a New Ager is a person of faith.
Yes,
people who claim to be spiritual are people of faith of some sort.
That's right.
And so there's no secure hope, however, because it's not anchored. There's no confident expectation. I love that short definition, confident expectation. It's not an attitude of optimism. It's an attitude of confident expectation that God will never leave me nor forsake me if I follow him. Now, I can leave I can leave him. The children of Israel left the God who was there. He's the one that delivered them out of Egypt. But he said, you guys don't follow me. You don't obey me. You don't do my will. You murmur and complain. You're not anchored in hope. I can't let you into my promised land.
That's right. You know, Chuck, you started out talking about the peace agreement that was announced, and you used the right statement when they talked about, in I think the word they used was enduring hope, and I'm with you, man. Absolutely, do I want the best of this? You better believe it.
You use the term eternal hope, and that's what really
eternal hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eternal hope.
So, and my thinking is, well, what is it that gives us that eternal hope on that some men made an agreement? Well, we know how that can go.
Yep.
That any, the mindset of any one of those men can change the next day, can be influenced. And so to say that's eternal hope, that falls far short of eternal hope.
Well,
do we
absolutely
have a great desire?
You know, we really need to dig into that just a little bit, because it's right in front of us today. And actually, the term that our president used was eternal peace.
Eternal peace. Okay.
Well, same basic thing.
Even that.
Because you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace ruler of your life. And the Prince
the
of Peace is
one.
The Prince of Peace is not the ruler over this peace agreement.
No.
It has nothing to do with the Prince of Peace. In fact, the agents that are cooperating together in the so-called Abram Accords, that is the next step, have nothing to do with the faith of Abraham, just the name.
Exactly.
Have you noticed that?
Of course. Now, again, do we have a desire for all of this to work out well?
Sure.
Yes. But can we believe this is eternal peace? Well, the scripture tells us that the only way we're going to have eternal peace is to put our hope in the Prince of Peace.
Exactly.
And honestly, even on this earth, Chuck, there is no promise in scripture that there's complete peace on earth.
No.
If there was so, then we wouldn't need the return of the Lord, and we wouldn't need a new heaven and a new earth.
Exactly.
So it is mislabeling the situation. Again, desire, want things to work out well, but that mindset, though, feeds into what we're talking about, of how the world thinks about things. They're very quick to say a person of faith, very quick to say eternal peace, very, very quick to say, now I have great hope. Well, in what?
Yes,
and
in
why?
What?
Yeah, and why is that so sure for you? When all of the things that have happened that led up to something or have even occurred through situations, none of that has been absolutely stable. The only sure one, the reason that I'm gripped by hope is because I know who I'm holding on to and who's also holding on to me. The scripture says that he holds us in his hand. And time and time again, man, the Lord has proven to me in some of the darkest situations in my life. And I know dark.
Wait a minute. You're a pastor. You've had dark situations?
Oh, listen, man, let me tell you something. I absolutely believe that the only way to pastor these days with the matter of really building people up and shepherding them is to be very honest and be very transparent about the things that that's occurred in our life. Mm. And I unfortunately, when we pose as if everything that we've experienced has been great, good, we can't even relate to people. And yes, no. Man, I've had some dark situations. And again, that may be relative. I never was like, you know, in a drug house somewhere or, you know, caught up in some kind of crime or sex ring or anything like that. But I tell you, I've been in some places in my life where my emotions and my mind and my heart, I mean, everything about me wanted to just give up,
yeah.
Just think that this ain't worth it.
Well, you actually write about that in your book, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I write some real stories. And, Chuck, you know what's interesting about this? You know, the genesis of this was my daughter giving me a book. I can't remember the title of the little thing she gave me, but I said it's a little. It's kind of thick. But she wanted me to start. It asked me questions about my life, like, what were some of the things that brought me the most joy?
Oh, okay. One of those kind of books. In other words, so she could have a heritage knowing, be able to translate for the future her dad.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's called Your Father's Story. That's the name of it.
I saw that. I've seen that book.
Man, I tell you, I realized then, Chuck, that there are things that I've walked through and experienced that I've never shared with my kids, never shared with my family, and then I actually got to see the hand of God. I didn't really spend a lot of time ruminating on some of those difficult places. What I saw consistently was God's rescue, you know, how truth wins, how light wins. I just saw that consistently in my own life.
Yep.
and realized, you know, I want my children to know some of these things. Of course, they have the Word of God. Of course, they have the Holy Spirit. But
you don't have to get into all of the depths of the nitty gritty, but you have to be real in the sense you don't come off as if you're goody two shoes in the sense that you've never had a problem and everything's wonderful and everything's cool. So
absolutely.
Okay, so the reality is that we have to be tested. Our faith is tested, our hope is tested. We have to be tested to find out if our anchor still holds.
That's absolutely right.
If our anchor doesn't hold when we're tested, either we're anchored to the wrong place or we're not anchored at all.
That's right. Yeah. Will this God come through? As we've seen over and over again through the scriptures, you know, the world has the pictures of the Marvel comic guy coming through and Superman coming in to save the day, or Spider-Man jumping in just at the right time, which you know, puts people hoping in people and circumstances. But the Word of God tells us that this is a God that comes through for us each and every time. Now, Chuck, I don't never want to leave people with a misunderstanding. God coming through, though, doesn't mean I may not look my father in the eyes as he's dying from cancer, where God didn't heal him. Mm. It doesn't mean God didn't come through. But what it does mean is that even in the moment of the deepest grief that I could walk through, my God showed me a light of how he can help during those times.
Well, the light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can't put it out. If the true light is shining, and that true light is also a way of expressing not only the joy of the Lord, but the hope that is in the Lord, that we have a confidence steadfast and sure while the billows of life roll over us. We'll be right back this, friends. It may seem that we're talking in a bit of generalizations here, but it's not necessary for us to go into all the little nitty-gritty depths, because you know that every one of us is being tested. My wife and I have just been tested to the max this week, and we're still gripped by hope. I hope you are as well. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Have need of endurance or patience so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. One of my favorite scriptures of all time, for you have need of patience or endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Do you know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, who claims to be a person of Christian faith is going to inherit the promise. Did you know that? He said, only those who do the will of my Father. Those were Jesus' words, only those who do the will of my Father. So there's a sense in which we have a cooperation with the promises of God in that we are to conform our lives to the word, will, and ways of God so that the promise remains secure. But what if we don't do that? All you have to do is read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and you find out what happens when you don't do that.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what happened. Happened to Israelites. They were the chosen seed. They were the heirs according to the promise. They were the physical seed of Abraham, but they still didn't get into the promised land. They didn't get the promise because they didn't endure patiently to the end. So I have a question for you, my dear friend, Tyrone.
Yes.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he that endures to the end shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this matter of endurance so important when people say out there, all you need to do is make a blithe confession of faith that you believe in Jesus and everything's fine forever and ever?
I actually believe it ties into Hebrews also when it comes to our Lord and Savior. The scripture says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame.
Right.
And so I think that endurance that each of us should have is pressing through, pressing on unto the end, which Chuck may mean some suffering, which may mean some things that are laid before us that maybe we may think is a little bit more painful to bear. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Well, Jesus said this. He said, if they
endure.
Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So why do you think you should be different than your Lord? So there's an endurance. There is a pressing forward that is part of the hope that we have.
That's right. And you got to have it. I mean, you know, Ephesians 2:12, here's a connection. You're talking about hope and God. Remember what Ephesians 2:12 says, without hope and without God in the world.
Yes.
It seems really clear to me that even the scriptures is teaching us, if we don't have this hope in God that will allow us, cause us, strengthen us, encourage us to endure, then we cannot proclaim to be people that have God. With God is hope. That's why our soul is anchored, is sure, and is steadfast. And I think that's why we can endure.
It seems to me that the word hope is directly related to the word trust from God's viewpoint. I want to comment on that in just a moment, but I want to make your book available to our listeners, Gripped by Hope. We want to be gripped by hope, friends. If there's ever a time in these end times that we're in the latter days of the end times. I'm convinced of it. We're not in the day of the Lord yet, but we're in the latter days of the end times. And that's why what's happening this very day with the elusive peace that's being promised in the Middle East. It's elusive. It's not eternal. It's elusive because the Bible says it is. The Bible says it's not going to last.
That's not right.
Now, we can be glad that there's some sort of peace being made. That's not the point. But that's not where we place our hope. So we have to be gripped by hope in every single situation. And I trust that you will be, particularly as you read Tyrone's book, Gripped by Hope. $22 will put this hardbound book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. The book is worth it just for the introduction.
The book is worth it just for the introduction.
Because it sets the stage in my mind and my heart. That's what I want.
Wow.
I want the stage to be set so that my expectation of what's going to happen during the rest of the play is worthy of my attention.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What's the relationship between trust and hope?
Very good. I think, again, we can see a thread throughout the scripture of where, again, whether it be the prophets, or let's go back to Abraham.
Sure.
What about Chuck when he is told to take Isaac, the promised seed, the promised young man, up on the mountain to sacrifice him?
And he waited 25 years for him to be born.
Come on.
25 years, and now God says, okay, sacrifice him.
Exactly. And he goes. Now, the one smart thing he didn't do, he didn't tell Sarah where they were going. You know, if it was in our day, you know, and I'm taking my son, where y'all going today? Oh, we're just going to Walmart and, you know, maybe we'll hit Target, but we'll be back. Right?
Yeah, but we're going to take him up there to Mount Moriah. I'm going to stick my knife in him.
Yeah, no. But he tells the servant, me and the boy are going to go up on the mountain, and we will return. He had an absolute trust in God. And I think you have a deep affection for Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, like I do.
Let me tell you.
Oh, probably 5 or 6 times. And remember, it's in Hebrews that says Abraham believed that if he would have went through with it, that God was going to raise him up. And before they left that mountain. And so I think, again, having a trust in a God who cannot lie. Titus 1:2 says this, this truth gives them hope that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. Look how far back our trust can go. Before the world began, there was a God who proved that he didn't lie. And so, yeah, I think our trust is absolutely rooted in him. Therefore, I can hope. When I'm going through grief, I have hope that God will give me the strength to move forward. When I have a family crisis, I have hope that God is going to give me the wisdom or the strategy on how to lead my family through it. And I could talk about things with the church, even as minute as what some people may call minute on building projects, do as much as going to the jail and the prison to look someone heading to death row in the eyes and letting them know, even now, even though what you're getting ready to eat might be your last meal, you still can have hope in a God that promised you.
Well, that's
eternity,
true. That's true.
Know?
Well, steadfast and sure while the billows roll over us, the waves of life can be tempestuous. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tempests. You're going to have tribulation. There is coming a great tribulation. We're not in it yet. There's going to be a great tribulation like there was a great terror at the time of the French Revolution. Everything came apart. Everything that was of God was contested and assaulted. Everything. And it's going to happen again. And that means that we have to have our true hope anchored in the rock of our salvation. And I think you can probably sense a strength coming as I'm talking with you here on the air with our friends out there who are listening. This is not hope. This kind of hope is not for weak-kneed men.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. You know, there. I want to say it's Psalm 16. I could be wrong about that, but it says that we shall not be shaken. It's a message that the psalmist has to men.
Yeah.
And Chuck, I'm with you. This world, we do have, obviously, hope for America. We believe God can save people in our country. But if we think that what we've seen now is as bad as it gets, man, we're fooling ourselves.
Absolutely.
But I'm telling you, we can be people who are not shaken when we have our hope in the Lord. Psalm 91 means something when it says that thousands shall fall around you.
And 10,000 at my right hand.
Come on. Now, yeah. They ain't falling if ain't nothing happening. Right? I mean, people ain't just falling if ain't nothing happening.
Yep.
Something is happening around you, but yet, there is a hope that I have in God that I can still stand firm, that I can be secure, that I will not lose my grip, and God won't lose his grip on me.
Well, it's like what David said in the Psalms, many are they that say of my soul, there's no help for or no hope for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are the lifter of my head. And we need
That's
to
right.
have that kind of confidence. David met, he was in life and death situations continually.
Amen.
Continually.
Yep.
Tested
right.
and tested and retested and retested. Just like Jesus was tested in the wilderness. And we're going to be tested. My wife and I, looking over the 59 years of our marriage, we look at this and we say, you know what? About every 5 to 7 years, we find after things seem to have gone pretty smoothly and nice, then all of a sudden we get hit with another major test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we just had one this week. And it's been a major, major test. And so decisions have to be made. Decisions had to be made by Abraham. He had to say, okay, Lord, this is what you said. You also said that through me and my heritage, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So I believe that. But now you're telling me to take my son of promise up there onto Mount Moriah, not even knowing that it was on that same mount that God would sacrifice his own son.
Come on. Come on. There it is. And so, you know, I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage you with Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
My goodness, man, you are a man of my own heart. Oh, Gripped by Hope, friends, Discovering God's Light in Dark Places, $22. We'll put this exciting book in your hands on our website, saveus.org.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Hope always lies ahead. Hope is not behind, it's ahead. But it's based upon what was in the past. It's based upon the promises of God. It's also based upon the fear of the Lord. If we have not established the fear of the Lord early on, it's very difficult for us to be anchored in a rock that cannot be moved.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. almost impossible. And that's why the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning or foundation of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Every single promise of God, including salvation itself, is predicated on the fear of the Lord. You may not like the phrase. You may think it's just the love of the Lord. No, the love of the Lord, even the love of the Lord begins with the fear of the Lord. You would not even come to salvation if you didn't have some fear of the Lord, because you would not see any need to do so. That's where hope begins. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the easiest frame, but holy, but holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock. I did a lot of mountain climbing in my early days, Tyrone, there in California, in the Sierra Nevada, a lot of it. And I'll tell you, I learned a lot about the solid rock. I also learned a lot about rock that isn't solid. It's scary. It looks solid from a distance, but it ain't solid. And we got a lot of people out there that are trusting in rock that isn't solid. They're trusting in their feelings about Jesus instead of their faith in Jesus.
There it is. There it is.
Now, that'll preach, won't it?
That will preach. You got that right. That will preach, man.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, our hope and our desire for people is that they can just have an unshakable hope, that live in the presence of God right now. Obviously, they're going to have some various experiences in this life, but,
right. Man,
they can put their hope in Him and Him alone. I love what you said about the fear of the Lord. As you know, Chuck, as well as I do, I mean, if you went to 100 churches over the next 100 Sundays, if you hear one message on the fear of the Lord, please call me. I mean, it's almost like we don't even teach that anymore.
I have asked pastors on this program over the years, about 7-8 years, when was the last time you heard the phrase, a God-fearing man? It used to be the most common phrase to describe a man whose word could be trusted, who was dependable, and so on. I could not find a single person who could remember hearing the phrase, a God-fearing man. That's the problem in our culture. You cannot have the hope of the gospel without the fear of the Lord.
That's exactly right. That reverence of Him, knowing God in His fullness.
Yeah.
Chuck, do I love the grace of God and the love of God? Of course I do. But can I tell you, the reason I know the grace and the love of God is because I also know the wrath of God and the justice of God. And you can't have a hope in Him if you don't embrace who He is in His fullness, in all of His fullness. My hope in God cannot be that He's just a God of love and He's a God of grace. He is a God that wants truth, that wants righteousness, that wants a fortitude, a confidence in Him for who He is fully and entirely. And I tell you, when we get that kind of hope, Romans 15 tells us, that's when we become filled with joy and with all peace.
Exactly.
Because why? We trust in Him.
So there's the trust word again.
Confidence.
There's that trust word again. Hope is dependent upon trust.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so that leads to an overflowing confident expectation in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, man, I tell you, I want to take this God in the fullness. And that's the fullness of me coming to a total reverence and awe of Him, and also the joy of trusting Him and having confidence in Him and living in. You talking about eternal peace? That there you go. That'll get you some eternal peace right there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we need. We need peace in these troubled times, but it's an inward peace. Jesus said, "Not as the world gives, give I unto you."
Mm-hmm.
Give I unto you. Okay, you know, some people have thought, well, because we formed Save America Ministries back in 1993, when the Lord spoke to my heart, practicing law there in California, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land. as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour. And a lot of people think, oh, Save America Ministry. Oh, yeah, they jump on the bandwagon, Save America, Save America. We're not talking about an institution, a political institution. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the first three words of the Constitution, we the people. It's the people.
I love that.
It's the people. And
yes.
If we the people got our act in order, then things mm-hmm. would be more in order. We'd have more hope within our country. But our hope cannot be in our country per se. Our hope has to be in the God who made and preserves us the nation.
Man, you speak in my language there.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a message my church hears on the regular basis. Because, you know, I'm in a military town also here in Yuma, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Very patriotic. Yeah, much more of a conservative county and community. And you are right. We get the cries of people. We can save America. We can turn America around. And okay, I want to, man, I pray. I want to certainly believe God. But you're right. At the end of the day, it's the people that we need to save in our land. And that's pointing them to a God that they can trust in.
And I think that was ultimately the message of Charlie Kirk. And his message keeps getting shifted to political salvation. But underlying those things, his message was, get yourself anchored to the solid rock in Christ Jesus.
Very clear. And he was outstanding in bringing that message to the young students that he did at the universities, et cetera. But, this is good. I think we're like-minded. There's some...
It's wonderful.
It's a real spiritual connection here.
It really is
wonderful. And when I say spirit, I mean really spirit, right? I ain't talking about some figment of my imagination.
Right.
I mean the spirit of the Lord and kinship.
I understand one of your kids' name is Malachi.
Malachi, that's right.
Well, is he a real prophet?
Well, I'm believing and hoping. Malachi is one of the ones when I talked about earlier that we had two children that we really had to walk through something.
Oh.
But I will tell you, he is absolutely on the other side. He
That's
loves
wonderful.
The Lord. He's passionate. And I do believe that he will declare the word of the Lord.
Well, Malachi did declare the word of the Lord. He said before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he will call forth the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. And what you didn't know, I wrote a book called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts, based upon that. What you also didn't know that I wrote an entire book dealing with the fear of the Lord called The Secret of the Lord. And
I didn't see that one, but I saw the one on the fathers. I'm going to get it.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Because the Apostle John, Jesus' closest apostle, said, whoever has this hope, that is this hope of eternal salvation of the gospel, whoever has this hope of the second coming
himself.
Of Christ
mm-hmm.
will purify himself as Christ is pure.
Yes.
People don't think about that we have a responsibility in that.
That's
goes
right.
against so much of the teaching today.
Yes, it does. There is a work of sanctification. God has set us apart. He sanctified us as his children. There's a work of sanctification that we have to do. We have to do the work. That's the hard work of serving the Lord. When people say it's hard to follow the Lord, I don't buy that. But there's the hard work, and that is the purification. That is the setting aside those things within us, heart, mind.
Well, the reason it's so hard, the reason they think it's so hard to follow the Lord is because they don't really want to follow him where he's going.
That's right. There you go. And Chuck, I don't know, I'm sure you did. I mean, you're probably older than me, I'm sure, but live through the days where, you know, and we still have it, the mindset where people want Jesus for salvation but don't want him as Lord.
Exactly.
And there's no such thing as salvation without the lordship of Jesus Christ, meaning I am surrendered. We'll stand in churches and we'll sing the song, I Surrender All.
Mm.
And honestly, there's been times in my church I wanted to turn to the band and tell them, shut that song down. These folks don't even know what they're saying.
Yeah.
I surrender all, meaning I give myself to him entirely. He is the Lord of my life. Whatever he wants to do within me, through me.
And if he ain't Lord of all, he ain't
Lord
at all.
That's good. I like that. I'm going to use that one. He ain't bored of all. He ain't bored.
I do know the English language, like, but you know that helps to get it across.
Ain't gets the point across. I love it.
You indicate very clearly in your book that you are of African-American heritage, and I am not. But we have the same anchor and the same blood because we are our hope is based on the blood of Christ. So in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, there's neither black nor white, brown nor green or chartreuse, or male or female, but all one in Christ, and we have the same hope, and we have to be gripped by it.
Amen. Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and that is the truth.
All right. So, in both black and white America, if there is such a thing, and brown America, we have issues within our particular people groups. And
yes,
they're serious issues.
Yes,
about 20 years ago, Ebony Magazine came out with which is an exclusively black magazine, came out with a focus that the black family was in more trouble in the last than in the last 14 generations since slavery.
Absolutely.
This was a secular magazine.
Yes, sir.
And yet I have a confidence. I mean, George Gallup, pollster to the nation, has said that the black community is the most religious, most spiritual, most praying community in the country. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Are we gripped by hope?
What's going on. No, I tell you what's going on, and you just mentioned it. First of all, among the black community, the nuclear family is not even honored. It's not even looked to as being part of the foundation of our life.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, Chuck, 73% of blacks that are born in America will not have their father in the home.
It's terrifying.
It's horrible. And I could say a whole lot of things about the women's rights movement that's done damage to that. I could talk about even the civil rights movement. Now, believe me, I'm black, but I can tell you about the civil rights movement and the damage that was done with that. So where now, for most blacks, I hate to say this because I am one, but for most blacks, it's not God that they got their trust in. It's the government. I need the government to give me the money for my medical care. I need the government to give me the money for my EBT.
Wait a minute. It sounds like going back to Egypt.
That's exactly what it is. It's a bondage. And most, unfortunately, black pastors don't help the situation because they feed into that. And so same kind of mindset. I'm not saying that about all, but a great, great portion of them. When you walk into churches that are predominantly black, I only got to give it 15 minutes, and I know, okay, I know where he stands. He's telling people about God.
Well, they're not gripped by the hope of the gospel. That's what you're saying. Tyrone, you have got to come to Richmond, Virginia sometime and let's break some bread together. I have so much thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you, my brother.
Thank you, man.
All right, the book, friends, Gripped by Hope. $22 will put this hardbound book in your hands. Get it. Encourage yourself. Be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Be anchored to the rock that cannot be moved. Anchored firm and deep in the Savior's love. $22 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. And become a partner. Friends, that's part of the hope. You can participate in communicating this hope. That's what we're doing. I hope you'll do that by faith. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.